This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Macca, we've got two people in the studio from an organisation called Better Place Australia. We'll actually find out a bit more about what Better Place Australia is and does.
I know what that name used to be.
We'll come back to that. We've got Serge Sato, who's the chief executive of Better Place Australia, and one of his colleagues, Dr. Paula Fernandez Arias. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did, yes.
Great, thank you for that. I do actually try very hard to pronounce people's names correctly.
I do appreciate it.
Everybody gets mine wrong all the time. And even when my very best friends who've known me like for 40 years still spell my first name wrong, really? Anyway, tell us, what's Better Place Australia?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on this morning. Yes. Real pleasure. So, Better Place Australia, we've been around for about 35, 36 years. We used to be called Family Mediation Counselling.
You've changed the name.
We've rebranded, we've modernised, we've come into the new...
To Better Place Australia?
Better Place Australia.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, we actually did a lot of research with our clients, and we kept saying, what can we do for you? What can we do for you? Oh, just make me better, or take me to a better place. My headspace at the moment is not in a great place. So that term kept coming up. Mm. So anyway, that's an aside. So we provide probably 8 or 9 different programs across community services. We're largely funded by the Attorney General's Department. We provide family mediation, family dispute resolution, financial counselling, psychological services. We provide elder abuse services. So a range of different services across 28 different locations in Victoria. More recently, we've launched, and that's why we're here today, a new service called Better Pride under the Family Law Service. So when people think of family law services, they tend to think courts and lawyers. Hmm. Where in fact, community organisations like us are a big part of the Family Law Services program in that we keep most cases out of the courts. And that's what our job is. In fact, very few cases of family dissolution actually get to court. It's only around 5%.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So it's. I'm surprised by that. I thought it would have. But then again, perhaps people's experience in the court system isn't that enriching.
No, more get resolved through lawyers, and a big chunk just come to us. So we tend to get probably 60-70% of cases in agreements, and those agreements are set and keep people out of the legal system, which is terrific. So last week we launched a new research centre and a new service called Better Pride, and one of the first pieces of work we commissioned for the research centre was to better understand rainbow families' experience going through the family law system, and it was quite an eye-opener.
So I'm presuming, Paula, you oversaw that research?
Yes.
Give us some of the top line findings.
Key messages. Well, I think the most important one is that very little is known about how rainbow families experience the family law services generally. I think that heteronormativity, the assumption that everyone is straight, is still very much a part of the services that we offer to people. And that the pathways to parenthood are actually sometimes more complex given the involvement of other services. And that sometimes is difficult for people to navigate because of heteronormative assumptions.
There's no real surprises in any of that, though, is there?
Not really.
So you've done this research. You've had this sort of presented to you. What are you going to do with this? And what's going to be different?
Well, I think the important part is the fact that we've done the scoping review and we focused on Australian research specifically to better understand how it impacts the local scene and obviously to inform the practice that we're going to have within Better Pride. I think evidence-based practice is always, or at least so far, the best type of practice we have, and our doing this research can shape the ways in which we're going to interact with our future
clients. Give me an example or two. What will be different?
Well, for example, our practitioners are getting specialized training. There's a lot to be said for misgendering or assuming people's sexuality.
Yep.
So we're doing a lot of sensitivity training, but also our practitioners are going to be part of the community and strong allies, not just kind of people that think they are kind of on our side, but not really. I think that's really important. We are clearly stating our message on our information to come out in brochures, websites, whatever else, because one of the things that we found that Rainbow families do when they try and access services is they do a lot of research beforehand because they're really worried about what it's going to be like once they get into the service. So we're trying to use that knowledge and actually provide people with information that's relevant to their experiences coming into the service.
So I see you've got some brochures here and they actually do feature the rainbow flag and the rainbow colours.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a very deliberate strategy to let people from the LGBTI community know that you are in fact an inclusive service provider.
Absolutely. I mean, we tend to be hyper-vigilant when we walk into services.
Hyper what?
Hyper-vigilant.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Aware. On alert.
Yes.
On alert, Tess.
Yes. Right. Always alert. We tend to be always alert to try and...
Oh, identify. There's a gay. Is that what you mean?
Yes, but also... me as one, I can walk into the service and they are actually trying to be inclusive about my experience.
Yeah, great.
So these flags everywhere do actually help people feel safer, more welcome, more included. And as part of a broader kind of like, well, they might understand what my experience might be like.
Taz, the other thing we're concerned, well, the two things. First of all, there's a lot of policy work to do. So if you look at the Family Law Act is... discriminatory language throughout. It talks about two parents, whereas we know for rainbow families there's biological parents, social parents. It's a much more complex structure, which is not captured in the Family Law Act.
Even for non-rainbow families,
blended families.
So we aim to do a lot of advocacy and we're putting in submissions and trying to shape that. But also education. One of the things we're concerned about, a lot of rainbow families get into donor arrangements and surrogacy arrangements on a handshake. And we know that over decades, which is that is a permanent lifetime relationship, things can change and things tend to take twists and turns. So if you don't have that rigor and kind of legally binding arrangement, we're seeing a lot of rainbow families finding themselves in very difficult positions. So, for instance, the definition of donor has been tested recently, and whereas previously we may have thought that a donor was somebody who donates sperm and you don't see them and you never hear from them again, recently that definition was expanded through the courts to include that a donor can actually be a parent and can actually have parental responsibilities. And that was a recent High Court decision that has shattered the community. So we really want to educate the community to better understand when they're getting into such arrangements, there is a whole bit of homework that needs to be done, which we want to provide.
I mean, it's a really, you know, I don't suppose, you know, I was thinking about this before the show and thinking about how many people, you know, how many rainbow families I know and are aware of, and that how this has expanded at such a huge pace, and that, you know, the law hasn't kept pace and support services haven't kept pace. Yeah. You know, so many of these families and especially, you know, what matters in this most of all is the children.
That's
you
right.
know,
yeah.
that they're perhaps not being catered for, or they're not being, it's not being thought about, not just with what's provided now, but what needs to be provided in the future.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on in saying, I mean, children should be the centre of any Family Law Act.
Of course.
And that doesn't change regardless of the communities. Now imagine the pressures on children who come from rainbow families and all the discrimination that goes with that. And then sadly rainbow families will dissolve and then all the pressures and trauma that comes with that. So what we aim to do with Better Pride is to better understand that and provide specific specialised services that can cater not just to the parents but to the children as well. So we have a range of child counsellors, we have family dispute resolution practitioners, we have psychologists that are going to be specialised in the whole rainbow family challenges.
Well, I think that's just absolutely marvellous. Here's another service that's actually reorienting itself to be much more inclusive and much more attractive to the very diverse people who we are in this society. And we're not all the same. We're all very different. We all look different. We all have different identities and genders and sexualities and backgrounds and beliefs and so forth. So congratulations to both of you.
Can I ask Paula, you know, in doing this research, you know, often, you know, when research is undertaken, you discover things that perhaps you weren't aware of or weren't were happening in a much greater frequency. Can you tell us about that? Were you surprised by some of the outcomes?
First of all, I would like to also thank Emily Armstrong, who helped me do the research, and I should not forget that.
Go Emily,
absolutely. I think I was surprised by a couple of things. First of all, the lack of research, especially in a country like Australia. I was also surprised by the very powerful role that biology continues to play in family formation and our continued interest in upholding biological relationships at the expense of social ones. And I also was surprised at the focus more broadly when we started doing the research around the U.S. as kind of like a starting point for all other forms of research. So they're very much the one place that is producing the most. So that kind of remains an issue as well.
Very interesting, Paula. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I've got two questions before we march you out of the studio. Firstly, are you considering, as an organisation, the Rainbow Tick accreditation?
Yes, we are. So we recently completed our QIP accreditation, which is like those, the ticks, and that spans across the whole organisation, and that took... Well, it was traumatic for some of my staff, I can assure you, and to dump another accreditation so soon. So I had to wait till we got that out the way, and now we're in the process of exploring a rainbow tick as well. But we've done all our discrimination policies and all the rest of it. But can I also say rainbow tick won't necessarily give the specialisation to the practitioners, which we've done a lot of work in trying to do as well. But yes, we're heading down that path
Of course,
as well.
But it is an external refereed process, and you can proudly wear the rainbow tick on your front door, and it's another indicator to the community that you are,
very
trained
important.
And inclusive and accepting, etc., etc.
Absolutely.
And one more question, how can our listeners contact you if they actually wish to access some of your services?
So that's a great question. So they can ring our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-531-9119. I'll say that again, 1-800-531-919 during office hours. Or they can go to betterpride.com.au. It is very new. We've only got a holding page at the moment, but that holding page will explain some things. We aim to launch a whole new website in the weeks to come.
Fantastic. Serge Sato, Chief Executive of Better Place Australia, and Dr. Paula Fernandez-Arias, thank you for coming into the studio today. It's so refreshing to see mainstream organisations really taking the time and investing and doing some work
in
really being a much more inclusive and open organisation.
It's necessary.
Thank you very much for that. And thank you for your time this morning.
And thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.